word. Father, we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to, the Lord laid this on my heart, so I'm going to minister it to you here today. And it's very, very important. Very important. And before I give you any subject or anything like that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, 28th chapter. 28th chapter of Matthew. Hallelujah. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, I'll begin reading. I'll begin reading at verse 16. It says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I said, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Praise God. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Let me read verse 19 again. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I want to share with you a little bit, minister to you, concerning making disciples. Making disciples. Hallelujah. But there's more to that. But I want to deal with the fact that, first of all, what is a disciple? What is a disciple of what is a Christian disciple? Let me put it that way. Yeah, amen. Followers of Jesus Christ. One that has been taught by him, and they follow him. They trust him. Hallelujah. And Jesus himself, in his public ministry here on the earth, chose 12 men that he could pour into, that he could teach them. And it wasn't always easy. A lot of times when you're being taught, sometimes you have to be corrected. There are times when Jesus had to correct his disciples. Sometimes they would sort of get off course, and they start going in the wrong direction, you know. Arguing over things like, you know, who's going to be the most important in heaven, and who's going to sit closest to Jesus, and so forth, and he had to correct them on that, didn't he? Yeah. He had to correct them. And so, if you are a disciple, then you are taught in the ways of the Lord. You're taught in the things of the Lord. And from time to time, you are corrected if you get it wrong or if you get off course. And then, of course, also many times you're praised because of what you have accomplished. Amen. How many of you, when you were in school, some of you are still in school, and you made an A on your test, or you made a good grade on your test, and your teacher said, "Good job." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you like hearing that, don't you? I know I did. I like, good job. Now, if I made a failing grade, then I was corrected and I was told that you need to do better. And this is the changes you need to make in your life. This is the things you need to do. You need to change your study habits, or you need, you know, whatever, you know, so that you can bring those grades up. Well, that is correction. By the way, when you're corrected by the teacher, you don't drop out of school, do you? No, you don't drop out of school. You're supposed to receive the correction so that next time you take the test, hey, you ace that thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about today making disciples, but I want to focus in on an important area. Now, we just read here in Matthew where Jesus said in verse 18, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In other words, Jesus told his disciples, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel, you tell them about me, being Jesus, of course, you tell them about me, and let them know that I am Lord, I am the Savior, that they need to believe in me, they need to put their trust in me, and so forth. So that was their marching orders to tell the world about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Hallelujah. But also in the book of Acts, as a matter of fact, let's turn there. And I'm trying to get there too. Acts, the first chapter. I'll just begin reading at verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Now, let me stop right there for a moment. I just want to point something out to you, how short-sighted we can be, how distracted we can be, okay? Now I'm just parking here for a moment to point something out to you. I told you that disciples have to be taught, disciples have to be corrected, disciples have to be steered. Sometimes they get off on the shoulder of the road, sometimes in the ditch, have to be steered back. Now, Jesus had spent all this time with the disciples, teaching them the things of God. Amen? Teaching them the things of God. And now here, the resurrected Christ is giving them further instructions. Let me read 4 and 5 again, and 6. Pay special attention to this, and we're going to move on. But and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. He had taught them about the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, look at verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Where were their minds? Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is talking about the power of God that's going to operate in their lives. That's what Jesus wanted them to focus on. But what they wanted to know is, Lord, when are you going to deliver us from the Romans? Lord, when are you going to set us free from the Roman Empire? That's not what Jesus was talking about. So even after teaching them all this time, he still got to straighten them out again. Verse 7, he says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. See that? In other words, Jesus says, don't be concerned about that right now. I got another mission for you. Verse 8. But you shall receive, and notice now, Jesus stayed on his subject. He said, listen, don't worry about this. This is in the Father's hand. Now let's get back to what I was telling you. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. And this is where I was going in all this, but the other was good anyway, right? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want you to notice something here. Jesus had an order. He said, you shall be witnesses to me here in Jerusalem. And then you're going to witness in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Can I tell you something? We all have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. Jesus said, start at home, Jerusalem. Start at home. Start at home. Why am I saying that? This is what I'm getting at. I told you my subject was making disciples. Now let me tell you the rest of it. Making disciples at home. Now, I realize many of you that's in the sanctuary, you're not married, or you're not a parent, and there's some of you watching, you're not married, you're not a parent, but yet and still, you can receive from the Word of God that I'm ministering to you, because we have to understand. And I'm gonna speak about me as a parent, which Kathy and our children are all adults, and they have their own children now, and they're parents themselves. But we talk so much about our young people and how they're all going astray, and and you're hearing all this stuff on the news, you know, shootings and robberies and all of that. And in many cases, it's young people that are involved, younger people. Let me tell you something. Listen to me good. We must get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our young people. Hear me. We must get the word of God on the inside of our young people. Is anybody here this morning, or am I here by myself? And I'm here to tell you, listen to me. You may be a parent, or you may not be a parent, or you may be a future parent. Your children are supposed to hear the gospel. Your children are supposed to be taught the word of God by you first. You first, us first. I mean, I remember after Kathy and I were married, she became pregnant with Cedric. And I remember thinking, Lord, we didn't know it was Cedric. We didn't know if it was a boy or girl back in those days. You know, you just, surprise, you know, you just found out when the child was born. But nowadays, you know ahead of time. But I remember many times, and she did it too, I would lay my hands on her stomach and I would pray for that child. I'd pray for Cedric. Didn't know it was Cedric at the time, but I would pray for him. And by the way, he was a child in her stomach. He was a human being in her stomach. I hope you're listening to me. Glory to God. Society is trying to tell us now it's not a human being until after it's born. That's a lie. I prayed for him. She would lay her hands on her own stomach and pray for him. And then we would do it together. I'd lay my hands on her stomach. She would lay, and we pray for him. Not just him, all four of our children. Hallelujah. All four of them. Prayed for them. What did we pray? That they would live for God. That they would be instruments for God. That the will of God, hear me good, that the will of God would be fulfilled in their lives. Hallelujah. Now, the responsibility didn't stop there at the prayer. We had a responsibility as parents to teach them. We had to teach them. In other words, let me say it this way. We had to disciple them. Now, you may not be raising your own children. You may be raising somebody else's children. Or maybe you are a guardian or have some type of influence. So do it in the name of Jesus. And teach them the ways of the Lord. What we're seeing right now is a lack of teaching and a lack of impartation in the lives of some of these young people. Well, Pastor, I did the best I could, you know. I did the best I could. And listen, Are you hearing me this morning? When you have done your part, and if they still not living right, now you turn them over to God. Or you keep praying for them. Don't ever stop praying for them. Don't ever stop standing in faith for them. But now you say, Lord, I did my part. And we're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to continue to believe for them. But we did our part. Now we're free. You're still with me. But we have been given a responsibility by God to teach our children and to train our children. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's he or she. He's talking about both. That when they are old, they won't depart from it. And I was reading that verse in the Amplified Version, not the Amplified Classic, but the other Amplified Version. And it reads this way, train up a child in the way that he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. Many young people and older people now they don't have a seed planted on the inside of them. They don't have the seed there. Even if they're doing their own thing now, if you did your part as a parent to pray for them and to teach them, that seed is going to be there. Something has been imparted to them. Glory to God. You're still with me? Turn to 2 Timothy, please. I love this. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to Timothy, who was pastoring in a very wicked city, wicked area. In verse 3, he says, I thank God. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. See, he went through some stuff. I'm talking about Timothy. That I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. You see that? Paul was telling Timothy, listen, Timothy, you got the real deal, brother. You have the real deal. You have genuine faith, not this phony stuff, not this counterfeit stuff. You have the real faith. But now, let's finish reading. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, listen to this, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. In your grandmother Lois. Hallelujah. And your mother Eunice. And listen to what he said. And I am persuaded is in you also. His grandmother was an example to him. His mother was an example to him. They taught Timothy what to do and how to live for God. Because you have to understand, listen, there are two letters in the Bible written to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And of course, Timothy was pastor at the church of Ephesus there. But let me tell you something. Paul didn't call him the pastor. Lois of Eunice, his grandmother and mother, didn't call him the pastor. That calling was from God. But let me tell you what. His grandmother Eunice, Lois, and his mother Eunice, and the Apostle Paul, and possibly other people, stepped in and helped Timothy get into position where God could use him as pastor and to serve him. My question today is, how many of our young people miss the calling of God on their lives because we didn't do our part? We didn't make disciples at home. We didn't make disciples of them at home. You've heard me tell my story. My mother was an uneducated woman. She was not an educated woman, never finished high school. I think she told me she went as far as the sixth grade. And I think my daddy might have went as far as the third grade, if I remember correctly, but they were not high school graduates, wasn't even elementary school graduates. But I remember the impact that Mama had on my life. She didn't know a whole lot, but I remember the impact it had on my life when I saw her on her knees praying, interceding before God. And as a child, I just stand there and watch her. I didn't understand it all. I didn't understand it all. But I know one thing. One thing I understood, she was connected to a higher power. She was connected to someone I couldn't see. And then she would grab that old King James Bible that she could barely read. And she'd mispronounce words, but she would read it to me. And I'd sit there listening and listening and listening. Anybody else ever had that experience as a child? I want to tell you, yeah, it impacts your life. It marks you. And I'd grab that old Bible and I'd take it to Mama. Mama, read me some in the Bible. And she'd read the best she could. She would read. It impacted my life. I didn't know how to get saved. Because in our church, we were just told, you get religion. But I didn't understand that. I, as a child, I didn't understand it. But I do know that something was imparted to me. Even when I became a teenager and part of me was paralyzed and I cried out to God not to let me die because I wasn't sure if I was going to heaven or not. I cried out to God. I left out of the house, got out in the backyard or the side yard, looked up into the clouds and said, "Lord, please don't let me die. I don't want to go to hell." Didn't know how to get saved. Why? Because something had been imparted to me. Went to the old Edwards Elementary School in Chesterfield, the old school. Back in those days, guys could come in and talk to you about Jesus. Oh, my Lord. We need that today, folks. Guy came in, missionary from Holland. And all of us gathered in the cafeteria. The whole school all gathered in the cafeteria. And he talked to us about Jesus. And some of you folks my age and maybe slightly younger, you remember some of that too, because it wasn't just at Edwards, at some of the other schools. And they handed every one of us got a little book of John. Red book. It was a red book of John. Anybody else here got raised? Testify. Yeah. Got that little book of John. I took that little book of John home and I read that thing. It was King James Version. I read it. I did. Let me tell you something. I didn't understand all that I was reading, but I do know something was happening on the inside of me. Something was happening on the inside of me. And that man left. And this is what he said. The last words I remember him saying is, he says, when I get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, I'm going to be looking for you. Now, you're talking about a sixth or seventh grader. And I thought to myself, yep. I want to see him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again because I know I'm going. Hallelujah. I know I'm going. He's probably already there because, you know, we were young then and he had some age on him, so he's probably already in heaven. I look forward to seeing him again. I want to shake his hand and tell him thank you for what you imparted into me. Thank you for that little book of John that you gave us. Had an impact on my life. We can't lose sight of the fact that children and young people have to be fed, not just physical food, but they got to be fed spiritually. Because they have enough to deal with when they leave the house. Oh, y'all still with me? Hallelujah. So we got to teach them. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Oh, glory to God. I think I read part of this to you the other week. I don't know. I tell you what, I'm just going to begin reading at verse 1. Is that all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is talking to us, too. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You still here? Now, I'm going to read on just in just a moment. But I want to say this to you. If we're going to teach our children, or if we're going to teach young people, period, we ourselves must be examples to follow. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a kid will tell you, you tell them something, or tell them something not to do, you know what they'll tell you? Well, you doing it. Don't you cuss. Well, you cuss. We got to be examples, folks. We must be examples. Now, let's look at verse 7. It tells them how they are to live, and then he goes on to tell them, says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. See that? You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. If all you talk to your fathers, if all you talk to your sons about is sports, that's not enough. You know, I like sports too. You know, I like football, and I like to watch it when I have time to watch it. But I also have observed something else, that sports here in America is about to become an idol. And when God has clearly told us that we are not to have any other gods before him. There are parents that want to see their sons or their daughters make it big in sports. But what many of them do not do is sit down and count the costs. What kind of price will your child have to pay to be a professional? That is, if they even become a professional. What price will they have to pay? Are you looking for free tickets to the games? Are you hoping they'll give you some of that big money they'll be making if they go pro? Again, I'm not against sports. But everything need to be in its proper order. God and the things of God should always, without exception, be first. The Bible tells us all that other stuff will pass away. But the word of the Lord, the things of the Lord, endures forever. Is there another amen somewhere out there? Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not anti-sports. I just think it didn't need to be kept in its proper place. If your child excels in sports, I hope they got God first. Putting God first. I hope you're teaching them to put God first in everything. Make a decision that sports will never become an idol in your family. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I got to hurry up here. So as it says in Deuteronomy, we got to teach them. They got to be taught in the home. Don't just look for me to do it all or any other pastor to do it all. Your children are around you much more than they are me or this church. They need to see it at home. Hallelujah. Be an example before them. That's what I just read to you. Teach your children to pray. Teach your children to pray. We're talking about making disciples at home. Teach them to pray. Remember, what did the disciples tell Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, I think it is. Luke 11, 1. Put it on the screen for me, please. Luke 11, 1. I hope I'm right. Glory to God. Now it came to pass as he was praying, this is Jesus, praying in a certain place. Now, notice something here. Jesus set the example, didn't he? Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, what? Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let me tell you something. Your children, your young people, they must be taught. Beginning at home, you teach them. Yeah, but they don't want to pray. Well, we've been through that. There are times our children didn't want to pray, but we all got in our little circle and prayed anyway. Sometimes they wasn't half paying attention. We didn't let that bother us. We just kept on praying. And when it came to their time to pray, we told them, pray. If I'm telling the truth, kids, raise your hands. I'm talking about my kids. Raise them high. Now, don't act like you're ashamed. Y'all grown. Amen. They were kids. They were preacher kids, but they were still kids. And they get over into foolishness and silliness, but we didn't let that deter us. Teach them to pray. This is a big one right here. I'm getting ready to close. This is a big one. Look at somebody and say, pay attention now. I like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. You ready? Bring your children to church. On time. And I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying that means Sunday school. That voice was my wife. It's the truth. Listen, when you've done your part, God will do his part. I want to say that again. When you do your part, God will do his part. And you will have a part in raising up a champion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Look at your children sometime. They may be teenagers. They may even be adults by now. Ask yourself, what does God want to do with my child? because I am totally convinced that every person born in this world is born for a purpose. God has a purpose for that child. That's, again, going back to it, that's the reason abortion is so terrible. Not only do you lose the life of the child, but what they could have potentially done for God. You hear me? I say, do you hear me? So in closing, I just want to say to you, make a decision, especially you younger parents, but then this also includes grandparents, because we're supposed to be a light. We're light, we're salt, we're supposed to be examples. Amen. Make a decision that you're going to make disciples out of your children. You're going to do your part anyway. You're going to do your part. And God will reward you for your faithfulness. And be determined that you're not going to become distracted by something else, that you forget the importance of Jesus Christ in the life of your child or whoever it is you may have influence over. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you.